Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. I'm joined by the second overall pick in the 2002 draft, Mr. Jay Williams. He is in New York City. And 2008 champ, Kendrick Perkins. He is coming to us from his home in Texas. And guys, it's good to see you, but we are starting the show today with very heavy hearts. The entire NBA is just still reeling from yesterday's news that all-star Karl Anthony Towns' mother, Jackie, has passed away after a battle with coronavirus. And there's a reason this has shaken so many people. If you spent any time around Kat at all, you spent time around Jackie. She rarely missed a game he played in. She would often travel with the team. She was so full of energy and light and love. She truly became this second mom to so many of his teammates and friends. You know, when Towns announced he was going to Kentucky, it was Jackie who was by his side. And just look at her, clapping, cheering. So proud. And when he made his first All-Star game, well, take a look at this video.
He's one person left.
On that All-Star team, his first All-Star team selection.
Yes, All-Star game.
The only player to average over.
We did it. I knew it was going to happen, and it happened. We did it.
Last month, Towns announced that both of his parents had contracted coronavirus and had to be hospitalized. His father, Carl Sr., recovered enough to go home. His mother did not. She was put on a ventilator toward the end of March, and she died yesterday at the age of 58. Jay, Will, you know the whole Towns family just so well. How would you describe the hole that has been left by Jackie's passing?
You know, Rachel, it's heavy heart. So first off, my prayers and condolences to Kat and his family. I've known Kat since we both went to the same high school. And we always joke around, because he's like a little big brother, if you know what I mean, that he was the best player to come out of St. Joe's. And I gave him that respect. But, you know, just telling you about Jack, she was the light and the spirit in his sail. She was always with him. She was always extremely positive. And, you know, even when it came time for him to go to Kentucky, she knew it was the right thing. And she's just always been that energy that lifted him up, regardless of the time, the situation, regardless of his challenges he had in Minnesota with the team and them losing. Like, every time I saw her, it was like, hey, Jay, how are you? What's going on? How can I help? And, you know, this whole thing is just, it's been tough for everybody. But I think this just really resonates just with the league as a whole, because all these people know Kat and they know his relationship with his mom, and it's just devastating time for everybody in this world dealing with this pandemic, but especially for Carl and dealing with this with his mom.
Yeah, Jay, I'm right there with you. Listen, Rachel, when Carl Anthony Towns broke the news about a week and a half ago that his mom wasn't doing well, I made it my duty to pray for him and his family every single night. I could relate to him right now, because I lost my mother at an early age, and the feeling that you have when you lose your mom is crazy and is unexplainable. when I think about him right now, my prayers are with him and his family. I can't tell him, there's no words that I can express to him to make him feel better. The only advice that I would tell Carl Anthony Towns is to lean on your loved ones and come together and get through it together through this hard time. But, you know, my prayers are with him and his family, and this is just heartbreaking. And, you know, I'm going to continue to keep him in my prayers and hope that him and his family get through this and stay strong.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many Americans dealing with this kind of tragedy and loss right now. But I think having this death happen to a member of the NBA family the way it did has made it hit home with players in the last 24 hours that maybe it hadn't before. Kendrick, how do you think that reality is going to affect players wanting to move back to playing once there is an all clear, leave their families if they have to be quarantined? Do you think that watching Karl-Anthony Towns go through this is going to affect some of those decisions?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, when you think about this whole situation, this is, you know, we gotta realize what's more important at this moment, and that's health and staying safe and your family. And you know, no way that, you know, if I was still playing that I could leave my wife and my four kids during this coronavirus pandemic. You know, as you can see right now, just think about it. If Karl-Anthony Towns, you know, had to leave his mom, or the NBA came to a conclusion that, you know, they were going to do this follow through with this process, and he had to leave his parents knowing that his mom was doing really, really bad, and had to leave, his mind wouldn't have been on basketball. And it's hard to say, hey, I'm going to take you guys away from your families and we're going to isolate you for the game of basketball. The game of the sports will always be here. They will be here for a long time, even when we all are dead and gone. So that could wait. What's most important right now is being safe and taking care of your family.
Perk, you know, you always say incredible things, and I commend you for this, because there's no way I'm leaving my family, Rachel. There's no way I'm leaving my family until we're in the clear with all this. And I think mass testing is so important. And I just don't think, guys, it's going to be realistic. And as much as I want to see a season, I don't think we're going to have a season. I don't think we're going to have a season. And even if you were able to get mass amounts of testings, Rachel, privately, you know, what kind of PR nightmare would that be for the league when we don't have enough testing out here in the real world and people are dying every single day? So maybe we will get to that point in a couple of months, but for the amount of people we have in this country, we're talking about months and months and months later. And you know, it's so challenging to look another person in the eye and say, okay, for a paycheck, I understand that you may have to do things, but a lot of these guys are in situations where they may want the paycheck, but a lot of these guys are making a lot of money. They may not need the paycheck. And if you don't need the paycheck, I'm not leaving my family.
Yeah, and we've been looking over at the Chinese Basketball Association, right, because they're a few months ahead of us on the wave of this virus. So when they are able to start up again, it is letting people know maybe we would be able to start. But as you say, there's so many hurdles. There's testing. There's all kinds of mass amounts of things to go through. And the CBA was trying to start this week, guys. They were trying to start in mid-April. They moved it back. Now they're talking about moving it back to July. That news came down this morning from our own Jonathan Givony. So a long way to go. And I think this latest tragedy with Karl-Anthony Towns and his family is just bringing a personal note to what has been an American tragedy in so many families to NBA players around the country right now. And they're wishing him the best, feeling his pain and realizing really what is most important in their own lives. So thank you guys, and our best wishes to his family from our Jump family as well. All right, coming up, our conversation with two former teammates, Steve Kerr and Scottie Pippen. We talked about their experience playing in Chicago during that Last Dance season. This is going to be really good, and so much more. First, though, we have three distant replays. They're all from this date in history. Our producer's been working overtime to give you this three-pack of Shaq, Kendall Gill, and LeBron. Give it a roll, Ty.
He does pursue. Fisher gives it back to Eddie. In low to Shaq. He's away from AC. Slam dunk. Wow. He went by AC, and he looked at Bradley and says, if you want to be about 5'11", get in my way.
Bradley again becomes a poster child.
Johnny Newman on a tough shot. Gill half court.
Oh! Gill went down.
They scored. They scored.
Kendall Gill. It hit off the top of the backboard.
He can't believe it.
As wild a shot as you will see.
Chased down by LeBron. Two against three. Doesn't matter to him. Oh, he threw it down. He rocked the Liberty Bell. He may have put another crack in it. 47-39.
They're going crazy here. They can't believe it.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school, or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. we're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Tomorrow on ESPN, we continue our weekly look back at some of the most significant games in NBA Finals history. We're going to start with Game 5 from 2009. That was between Kobe's Lakers and Dwight's Magic at 7 Eastern. Then, I'm sorry about this, Kendrick, but it's Game 7 in 2010 between the Lakers and Celtics. More Kobe. Don't pay attention, people in Boston. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. I'm so excited for the Last Dance documentary to premiere on Sunday on ESPN. And when two of the great players on that team, Steve Kerr, Scottie Pippen, crossed paths at a Warriors game in early March, well, I had to sit them down. Take a look at their conversation together. This was a lot of fun.
This team is one. Our leadership is strong, positive, very determined, and it filters down to the rest of the players. And we never let anybody give up.
So do you two even remember the first time you met each other or what you thought of each other?
Man, I don't want to hear this.
Oh, wow. I mean, when I first met him, I was playing against him, obviously. But I saw him as just a small guy. He was known as a shooter. But you know, he was a lot more than that once I was able to get to know him and we became teammates. I could always rely on this guy to help me get close to a triple-double.
I appreciate you being nice. That was a good answer.
We all know Michael Jordan loved to gamble. Now, we also all know about on Jumbotrons at games, they do those sort of little cartoon races with characters where they'll do which hat is the ball under or any of those games. And the story is that MJ actually got tipped off by the arena video crew what the answer was going to be ahead of time and then would bet you guys $100 a pop during timeouts. Is this story true?
That is a true story, but he never betted me. I don't think he betted Steve. Steve's not betting anybody, but he did bet. We used to have a security guy sitting at the head of our bench. His name was John Capps. He's now passed away. But Capps would bet Michael every game. The only way Cap would win if he was able to pick the right one.
Right.
Because if Michael picked, obviously he knew who was going to win. But yeah, he probably beat the guy at about $4,100.
Jordan a drive. Hang. Fire. Yes. Scores! He scores! The Bulls of the World Champs again! Oh my word, who would have thunk it?
You guys are going to be bonded together forever for so many reasons. I did want to talk about that final 1998 season, though, that traveling circus craziness. We all know sort of the outward stuff. It really felt like you were going around the country with the Beatles. But for you guys on the inside, what is the story of that 98 team?
Well, I mean, it was a special team. That path, that journey, that last three seasons it was some of the greatest years of my life, hanging out with these guys, having an opportunity, knowing that it was our last season, we really embraced it. We did a lot of things together and Phil made it a lot of fun for us. So, you know, some of those memories that you wish you could relive over and over again.
Yeah. You know, and Phil called it the last dance before the season even started because we were all free agents after the year ended. But because it was our third straight year trying to win the championship, everybody was exhausted. And that's what I remember, just the fatigue. And Dennis was, he was all over the map. We some days didn't show up for practice. We didn't know where he was. And it just felt like the end, but we found a way to get it done.
Portland will send Steve Smith to San Antonio in exchange for Derek Anderson and Steve Kerr.
One of the options was trading him, and when you make a trade these days, you have to match it up with salaries, and I was thrown in on top just to make it work.
You know, we were teammates 3 years later in Portland,
yeah,
which was really fun.
Yeah. It was different. It was different than playing in Chicago, where as you lose a few games, the fans might go and watch the baseball or just deal with the hockey. But those Portland fans, they were reliable night in and night out. And, you know, still to this day, and, you know, that game we had against the Lakers, that's something that will always haunt me because I really wanted to win a championship in Portland. Those are some great fans there, and they definitely deserve one.
Hi, everybody. Marv Albert, along with Steve Kerr, will be joined momentarily by Rachel Nichols.
Steve, one of the last things you did before moving on to coaching was you worked with me at TNT. Now, Scotty works with me at ESPN and ABC. So how long do you think it is before I drive him out of broadcasting and into coaching as well? What do you think?
It was,
you give him another year?
To be fair, it was more Marv Albert who drove me out.
But, I get it.
But you kind of nudged me, too, a little bit.
I know.
So, yeah, I give Scotty another couple of years.
Yeah.
Just don't work with Marv. It'll be okay.
Thanks so much to Scotty and Steve Kerr for their time. So, all right, that was a little reminder of the Bulls' glory days. The current state of the franchise? Not as rosy, which is why ownership has finally brought in new management in the form of former Nuggets GM Arturas Karnišovas. Is head coach Jim Boylan the next to go? Boylan put out a statement in support of Karnišovas yesterday, but he has not yet received public confirmation of his job security. The Bulls have a core of talented young players you can see here. So, Jay Will, this is an organization you're quite familiar with. Do you think Jim Boylan is still a good fit for this team?
It's always hard for me, Rachel. I never want to call for another person's job at all. But I think some of the numbers can speak for themselves. I mean, 2-23 against teams 500 and better. Their longest winning streak this year was two. And the biggest concern, Rachel, that I saw on Perk, I would love to hear you break this down too, is that whenever a head coach and the team's best player don't seem like they're on the same page, obviously I played for the Bulls. I watch a lot of their games. I can't tell you how many times I saw hands waving him off, facial expressions towards him, reading articles about the workouts being too archaic, players not feeling like it's as contemporary as it needs to be in order to help them think about the long-term picture. I don't know if Zach LaVine and Jim Boylan are on the same page, and if this team is committed to Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen, then that might speak for itself as it relates to the relationship and the tenure of Jim Boylan.
Yeah, Jay, listen, I'm with you, man. I'm with you 100%. It's time for Boylan to go. It's time to get him out of there. When you look at him, he came in. I was never a fan of his from the jump. The way that he approached this whole job situation with the Bulls and the locker room, he came in with a penitentiary mindset. This is a player's league. You need guys, you need coaches in there that can relate to the players. You know, when I look at Jim Boylan, he's not the right fit. Not too many of his players have good things to say about him, and none of the Bull fans have any good things to say about him. So to me, I think they need to look at what happened with the Cleveland Cavaliers when they got rid of their head coach and Bickerstaff took over. It was like a breath of new air, and Cleveland started winning ball games. You start feeling the camaraderie, the culture. I mean, just think about it. Jim Boylan, he was trying to prove a point the whole season by bringing in the rookie Kobe White off the bench. When God knows we knew this kid should have been a starter and he should have been handed over the keys. So it's a lot of candidates out there, Ty Lue, Damon Stoudemire, Sam Cassell, David Fizdale, that I think would be great for that organization.
Well, Adrian Wojnarowski reported this morning that they're interviewing general manager candidates with the Bulls right now. I'm sure once that position is sewed up, they will turn their attention to the coach. All right, coming up, guys, the NFL is going to be providing workout equipment for players. They're going to buy up to $1,500 of equipment for these guys. Should the NBA follow suit? I'm going to ask these two former players next on The Jump. Stay with us.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
After the jump, it's a SportsCenter special as they take you through Mel Kiper's latest NFL mock draft. Then SportsCenter returns for a fresh edition at 5 Eastern. At 7 Eastern, you can catch Game 1 of the 1988 World Series between the A's and Dodgers. And stick around for Kirk Gibson's at-bat in the ninth. I'm just going to say that. The NBA Horse Challenge continues on Thursday at 9 o'clock Eastern right here on ESPN and the ESPN app. The semis have Chauncey Billups taking on Mike Conley and Allie Quigley squaring off against Zach LaVine. All right, it's crunch time here on The Jump. So after Kendrick Nunn told the South Florida Sun Sentinel that he should win Rookie of the Year because the Heat are, quote, a playoff team, Ja Morant posted a GIF of himself laughing as a reaction. Jay, where does Morant stand for you in the Rookie of the Year race compared to Nunn?
Rachel, Ja Morant's number one, but I appreciate the moxie and the competitiveness of Kendrick Nunn, and they are a playoff team. He is correct with Jimmy Butler, but so is Ja Morant. They would have been a lock for 8 seed.
Yes.
Ja Morant number one, Zion number two, and then Kendrick Nunn.
I got it as a landslide, Jay. It's Ja Morant. Listen, Ja Morant is the best player on this team. He almost made the All-Star team this year. To me, it's apples and oranges. I got Ja Morant by a landslide, Rachel.
Wow. There's people who will pick at you over landslide, but he's definitely number one perk.
Exactly.
There's no question about it. All right, on this date in 2010, a 21-year-old Kevin Durant, became the youngest player in NBA history to win a scoring title. KD, of course, has gone on to win 4 scoring titles, tied for third most in NBA history, behind Michael Jordan, behind Wilt. Kendrick, where does KD rank for you among all-time scorers?
Rachel, we're talking about Kevin Durant. He's the greatest scorer in NBA history. When we talk about KD, these young guys be talking about people getting in their bag. Offensively, KD gets in his bag, his suitcase, his toiletry bag, his backpack, everything. His offensive game is beautiful to watch.
And you know what, Big Perk? I hear all the haters now. Of course you're going to say that. You're best friends with him. You played in OKC. Jay Will, of course you're going to say that. You do the boardroom with him. You're like his employee. I don't care what anybody says,
right,
Rachel. He's the most prolific scorer the game has ever seen.
Preach.
He has the body of Giannis with the skill set of Kyrie to a degree. We've never seen something like that.
Yeah, well,
yes.
Look, there's people who are going to stand for Will, but that's an argument I think we're all willing to get into. And, of course, MJ, greatest player ever. It's time to jump around. Big news from the NFL. The Owners and Players Association have worked out an off-season virtual workout program that includes stipends of $1,500 for teams to buy players at home workout equipment. Lakers vet Jared Dudley tweeted out his support for the stipend, which of course raised questions about why players being paid millions of dollars haven't just bought their own workout equipment. But it's not just NFL players. It's not just Jared Dudley. The reigning MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, has said he doesn't have a hoop at home. Celtics all-star Jason Tatum told me yesterday he hasn't even picked up a basketball since the Celtics last game. So, Jay, can you please explain this to me? You can buy a hoop at Home Depot. You can Amazon this stuff. Why aren't guys doing this at home already?
Well, Rach, there was a pandemic out there. People didn't know if they can go outside. Like, I'm not going to fault guys for not going outside and buying a hoop. They do have multi-million dollar facilities they're used to going to and working out. So, I mean, this is just where it is, Rach.
I get it. But I've spoken to a lot of players, and one of the first questions I ask is sort of, how is your game holding up? And a number of them, like a big chunk of them, are telling me, I don't have a hoop to shoot on. I have been surprised, let's say, that the NBA hasn't taken the same step it looks like the NFL is taking to send their guys equipment so they can keep up our games if we ever get to play a season again. All right, Jay, Kendrick, thank you so much for joining me. We'll be here on your TVs 3 o'clock every day. Come hang out.